Listen, we began a series last week on Hebrews, and basically we're just going to take some time over the next 2 months, and we're going to go through Hebrews. We're not going to finish. I'm probably going to get to like chapter 4 or 5, and then we're going to pick it up next year after Christmas and do some stuff. But 13 times in the book of Hebrews, it says Jesus is greater than. Jesus is superior to something. And he talks about angels and Moses and Judaism and Old Testament covenant and sacrifices and how Jesus is greater. Jesus is greater. And so we are going to journey through this kind of verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and look at who Jesus is and what he's done for us. And so if you were here last week, we tackled the first 3 verses. We only got to verse 3 because it's so packed with stuff. And if you remember this, I'll just quickly review. We said Jesus is the heir of all things, the creator of all things, the revealer of all things, the sustainer of all things. He's the redeemer and the finisher of all things. All that's found in the first 3 verses of Hebrews 1. Just an incredible 3 verses there. And so Hebrews tells us more about Jesus than any other book in the New Testament besides the Gospels. Obviously, the Gospels are his life. But Hebrews gives us so much about who Jesus is. And so we want to look, I put this in your notes last week, but we'll just review it. We said this. We're looking at Hebrews, what Jesus accomplished and why Jesus should be worshipped. We're going to start with that. Every week is kind of going to be our springboard. What Jesus accomplished and why he should be worshipped. And so I'm going to just pray and we're going to get into God's word, and we've got some great things today. So let's just pray for a moment. God, thank you for the opportunity to stand here and share your word. What a privilege and honor it is to stand here. And Lord, for all of us together, it's an honor just to worship you, to know that you hear us and that you are actively involved in our lives. How incredible is that? That the creator of the universe takes an interest in us. Thank you so much. Speak through me today to your people. Because Jesus, you are so great. And we just honor you and worship you and praise you in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen, amen. Hebrews 1 is where we're going to be. That's pretty easy. We're going to pick it up at verse 4. We're going to go 4 through 14 today. But I want to begin with a question. Here's the question. Listen, if you can put it up, Kyle. Do you know how many years there are between the Old Testament and the New Testament? Don't say it. Just think about it. Do you know how many years there's a span of so many years between the Old Testament and the New Testament, between Malachi, or if you're Italian, it's Malachi, right? The Italian prophet. Malachi and the book of Matthew. Now, some of you are like looking at me like there's years between them? So listen, I'm going to make this easy for you. I'm going to make it multiple guess. Okay? So here, put this up. How many think, don't answer yet. Here's the answer. Listen, is it 150 years, 250 years, 300 years, or 400 years? Do me a favor. Tell your neighbor what you think it is. Go ahead. Take a guess. We'll see how many people are right. How many years between Malachi and Matthew? And this will make sense in just a moment. All right. How many say 150 years? Come on. Okay. Just a few. All right. Good. You guys are good because that's not the right answer. How many say 250 years? 250 years? 250 years. Do I hear it once? Do I hear it twice? Oh, wow. Only a few people. Anya, you all right with that? Because that's wrong too. Anya, you saw her up here. She was singing. She did a great job. She broke her foot playing football with her son. And so she made the mistake this morning of telling me what people are calling her. She said her friends are calling her Thumper. So, from now on, you are no longer Anya. You are Thumper. You know what I'm saying? All right. How many say 300 years? 300 years. All right, that's good. Good, because that's wrong too. The answer is actually, everybody's like, 400, I said that. Yes, listen. You guys are so funny. You're so funny. The answer is 400, and you're saying to yourself, why do we need to know that? Right? Like, who cares? Who cares? Listen, there was a time period where God was not communicating or speaking as much as he was to the Israelites. And the reason I'm telling you that is really important. Because here's what was going on during those 400 years. A lot of Jewish writers, and we have a lot of information on this, a lot of Jewish writers were writing about angels between that period. We have a lot of information about angels from that time period. Now, a lot of it's not true. That's the bad part. A lot of it's not true. But God wasn't speaking. He was speaking, but they weren't hearing as much as they should. And so there was this 400-year span between Malachi and Matthew where there wasn't a whole lot of communication between Israel and God. And so the writer of Hebrews begins with those first three verses we covered last week. He begins by laying out how great Jesus is. He's the sustainer and the creator and the heir, and he's all of this. And then he transitions from that to talking about angels. And you're going to learn a lot about angels today. Some angelology, you know what I'm saying? Which is actually a word, by the way. And so his point in all of this is to say this, and I put this in your notes, that Jesus, listen, is greater than angels. Jesus is greater than angels. Now, here's what's interesting. Angels are mentioned over 100 times in the Old Testament. Isn't that incredible? You probably didn't know that. Over 100 times angels are mentioned. And get this, in the New Testament, it's over 160 times. Isn't that incredible? That's a lot of times that angels are mentioned in God's word. And so let me give you a little bit of background. There were these first century Jews that had some serious misconceptions about angels. Many believed that they were kind of, there's God, and then right below God were angels. And that's not true. That's not true. And so they really struggled with the divinity of Jesus, that was Jesus really fully God? And we know that he is from all that we have in God's word. But a lot of the Christians, listen to me, a lot of the Jewish Christians that were living in Rome, who this book is written to, the book of Hebrews, were struggling with the fact that Jesus was fully God. They kind of put Jesus on the level of angels, that there's God, and then there's Jesus, and he's like right there with the angels, you know, kind of like 1A. And that's just not true. And so the writer of Hebrews goes into great lengths to say that Jesus is greater than angels. And I think today we kind of have a misunderstanding of angels, don't we? I mean, if you watch TV, we have like, how many remember Touched by an Angel in the 90s? All right, I'm going to go way back. How many Highway to Heaven in the 80s with Michael Landon as an angel? How many remember Charlie's Angels, which has nothing to do with angels? But that's from the 70s, and I remember because I had a crush on one of them. Come on, somebody. It's true. That's the only reason I watch the show, right? But we have this real misunderstanding, misconception of angels. I mean, if you go to the Hallmark store, you look at cards and they have angels on them. What do they usually look like? They're like chubby babies, right? Playing a harp, sitting on a cloud. And that is not, listen to me, and I'm going to talk about warring angels today too. That is not what angels are like. That is very far from what angels are like. And so here we go. Hebrews 1, if you have your Bibles or it's on your device. Hebrews 1, we're going to read verses 4 through 14, and then we're just going to dissect it. Here we go. Get a drink of water real quick. It says, so he, referring to Jesus, became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. For to which of the angels did God ever say? Now, I think it's 5 or 6 times in this passage, the writer of Hebrews quotes from the Old Testament. You'll see it if you have your Bible with you. There'll be like a little number or letter, and then at the bottom it tells you this is Psalm 102, this is 2 Samuel, I can't remember the chapter, but all these are taken from the Old Testament, and they refer to Jesus. And he's making this case, he lays out this case that Jesus is greater than angels. So here's the first one. He says, for to which of the angels did God ever say, you are my son, today I have become your father. Or again, I will be his father and he will be my son. And again, when God brings his firstborn into the world, he says, let all God's angels worship him. In speaking of the angels, he says, he makes his angels spirits and his servants flames of fire. But about his son, about Jesus, he says, your throne, O God, will last forever and ever. A scepter of justice will be the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy. He also says, another reference to the Old Testament, In the beginning, Lord, you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. And how many know that? You do know that, right? That what we have today, God is going to, there's a new heaven and a new earth coming. God's going to wipe all this out. Verse 12, you will roll them up like a robe, like a garment they will be changed. But you remain the same, and your years will never end. To which the angels did God ever say, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. And then verse 14 is great. Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who inherit salvation? I don't know if you knew that. Isn't that incredible? Let's learn some stuff today. You ready? I put my notes in your bulletin if you want to follow along. And there's just 4 points this morning. And they're all begin with this. Jesus is greater than angels because he has a greater name. He has a greater name. Look at verse 4 again. So he became as superior to the angels as the name he inherited is superior to theirs. The name of Jesus is greater than any of the angels' names. Now, here's the question. Do we know any of the names of the angels? We know two of the names of the angels. They're in the Bible. Just two. Now, if you have a Catholic background, they'll probably say there's seven, and that's from a different book that we don't really kind of recognize in the Bible. But we know two. We know two. Here we go. You ready? We know Gabriel. We know that one. You're familiar with that one? Gabriel is the angel that delivers messages. He delivers a message to Daniel in the Old Testament, and he also delivers a message to Zechariah and Mary in the New Testament. Remember the angel appeared to Mary? That's Gabriel. That's Gabriel. So we know his name. The second one we know is Michael. And Michael is a bad dude. I'm just going to tell you right now, Michael is a bad mamma jamma, if I can say that, right? You don't mess with Michael. Michael is an archangel. Jude tells us he's an archangel, Jude 9. That he's the chief angel. He's the bad dude. And we'll get into that a little later about Michael. But Michael is the angel that does battle. And we also see him in Revelation that he's the one, listen, he's the one that binds Satan for 1,000 years. This is a bad dude, right? You don't want to mess with Michael. You want to be on his good side. You know what I'm talking about? But here's the point. Jesus is greater than any and every angel. He's greater. Greater than Gabriel. Greater than Michael, as powerful as he is an archangel. He's greater than that, right? He became much superior to the angels as the name he inherited is superior. We know this in Acts chapter 4, verse 12. It says this, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind which we must be saved. And that's talking about Jesus. There's no greater name, than Jesus. No greater name than Jesus. No name under heaven which men shall be saved, but the name of Jesus. And it says this in Philippians 2, another great passage talking about Jesus and his name. Therefore God exalted him, Jesus, to the highest place and gave Jesus the name that is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, you ready for this? Every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge or confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. Jesus' name is above every other name. And get this, there's going to come a time, either now or in the future, that everyone is going to bow their knee to the name of Jesus. Now, here's the good news. If you've surrendered your life to Christ, you've bowed your knee. You're good to go. But know this, everyone that has ever lived, that's a lot of people. Everyone that's ever lived, good or evil, is going to bow their knee to the name of Jesus. And then it says this, every tongue. Like you don't get to skip this part. Every tongue will one day confess, you know what, Jesus? You are God. You got it right. And a lot of people are going to be thinking, I missed it. Because here's the thing, bowing your knee and confessing with your tongue really have to do with eternity. Where you'll spend eternity. It's about acceptance or rejection. And I hope and I pray that you have bowed your knee and confessed with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. Because if you haven't, then I would love to pray with you afterwards. And we can make sure you bow your knee and confess that name so that your name, the Bible says, will be written in heaven for all of eternity and you will be one of God's true children. So Jesus has a greater name than any of the angels. He is superior. Secondly, if you're taking notes, Jesus is greater, listen to this, because he has greater honor. Not only is his name great, but he has greater honor. Look at verses 5 and 6 again. For to which of the angels did God ever say, and he quotes the Old Testament, you are my son, today I have become your father. Or again, listen, another one, I will be his father and he will be my son. And again, when God brings his firstborn into the world, he says, let all God's angels worship who? Worship him, Jesus. Jesus. God the Father calls Jesus the Son. God doesn't call any of his angels sons. He doesn't call them nephew or cousin. Nothing like that. Only Jesus has that honor as God the Son. And you do understand that when we say God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, we're talking about the Trinity, right? It's one God, three persons, and the God so miraculously has allowed us to understand the relationship between who God is. That's why he's called the Son, God the Son, so that we understand. Because you have a father, do you not? Yeah. Anybody in here not have a father? Maybe you didn't know your father, but you have one. And it helps us to understand that relationship of who God is. And so let's tackle the word in here that really stands out, and is this word right here. Firstborn, because there's a lot of other religions that point to this scripture, and also one in, I think it's Colossians, about Jesus being the firstborn, and that's not really what it's talking about. Your Bible might say begotten. I think Hebrew says begotten. It sounds like Jesus was created or born. Nothing could be further from the truth. The writer of Hebrews, and you have to understand this, listen, we read this today in our context, but to a first century Jewish Christian, this meant something different, right? And I'll explain it to you in just a minute. Jesus was not created. He always was, and he always will be, the second person of the Trinity. So the term firstborn or begotten really talks about, here, get this, this is really important. It really talks about, it's about placement, not about being born. And let me give you some examples in the Old Testament, or let me give you some examples in the Bible that talk about this. First one is Isaac. Isaac is referred to as the firstborn son of Abraham. Was he the firstborn son of Abraham? No. No, Abraham had a child with Hagar, his maidservant, to try to get a child of honor. And God said, no, that's not my plan. I have a plan for you and Sarah, Abraham and Sarah, to have a child. That was Abraham's second son, and yet in the Bible, he is referred to as the firstborn because he is the one, get this, he is the one with honor. He is the one with honor. And so when it says that God, when God brings his firstborn into the world, that's not talking about Jesus being born, like created. That's talking about Jesus getting the honor, that high place that no one else has. Does it make sense? Here's some other examples. Jacob was the second born son of Isaac and Rebekah, and yet he is the one with the birthright. He is the one with honor. In Exodus, the nation of Israel is called the firstborn nation. Now, were they the firstborn nation? Absolutely not. There were other nations. There were hundreds of other nations. But God refers to them as the firstborn nation because that's the nation of honor that God is going to honor. And he still does to this day, does he not? Yeah, he does. King David is called the firstborn king of Israel. He wasn't even the first king, and he wasn't even the first child. He was the eighth, right? He had seven other brothers, but yet he is referred to. And here's the point. Listen, it's a place of honor. That term firstborn is saying that God, there is no one above Jesus. He is the one to be honored and worshiped. Look at verse 6 again. It says, let all God's angels worship him. Worship is only to God in the Bible. No one else is to be worshipped. In Revelation, when John meets one of the angels, he bows down to the angel, and the angel's like, get up. We're the same. Like, don't worship me. We only worship God. And yet it says in Hebrews, listen, that Jesus is to be worshipped by the angels because he's greater. He has a greater name. He has greater honor. I put this in my notes. It's not in yours, but listen, just let me read this. Angels declare the birth of Christ. Jesus never declares any angelic assignment. Like they declare his birth, but he doesn't declare anything about them. Angels worship Jesus, but Jesus never worships angels. Angels don't have a throne. Jesus has a throne. He does. We'll get into that in just a couple of minutes. Angels are sent, hear me now, and Jesus is anointed. There's a big difference. And so Jesus is greater in honor than any and every angel. Are you tracking with me this morning? I put this in your notes. I just want to kind of hit this a little bit. Three kinds of angels that we find in the Bible, if you could put it up. Three kinds of angels, if you want to take notes. These are the three I see. There could be more. There could be more categories. That's fine. I see three different kinds of angels. The first one are messenger angels. These are angels that deliver a message from God. Abraham was visited by an angel. So was Jacob, Daniel, all to give them a message. Right? In the New Testament, Zechariah, we mentioned that, and Mary are visited by the angel Gabriel. He has a message for them, right? Mary, you will be with child. This is a message from God. And so there's these messenger angels. Secondly, and this is cool, we have ministering angels. These are angels that come with some type of relief or encouragement. Anybody today need some relief or encouragement? I do, absolutely. In the Old Testament, we see Lot was visited by an angel, and him and his family was rescued by that angel. They ministered to them. He took them out of Sodom and Gomorrah before God destroyed them, right? Also, Elijah was visited by an angel, and the angel made him a meal, probably the best meal he ever had, right? That's just got to be a good meal if you get an angelic meal. Daniel in the lion's den, we see him protected. God sent an angel to close the mouths of the lions, an angel. Ministering angel. In the New Testament, did you know this? Jesus twice is visited by angels. Ministering angels. It says this in Matthew 4, after his temptation, after being in the wilderness, the Bible says that angels came and ministered to him. How cool is that? In the Garden of Gethsemane, I think it's in Luke 22 or 23, Jesus, going through all that he has to go through, the Bible says that angels came and ministered to him. Ministered to him. Peter, in prison, is given an angel that takes him out of prison, right? Walks him out of prison, which is really cool. It's that ministering angel. Here's the third one, if you're taking notes, and this is the powerful one. There's military angels. Right? These do, are you ready for this? Physical and spiritual warfare. Physical warfare and spiritual warfare. They do both. They do both. Physical warfare, in Egypt, God sent an angel of death to kill all the firstborn sons of Egypt, right? God sent an angel of death, a military angel, to come in, the angel of death, and to wipe them out. Also, and this is great, 2 Kings 19, I didn't put it in your notes or put it on the screen, but 2 Kings 19:35 says that at night, Jesus sent an angel that killed, are you ready for this? 185,000 Assyrians. So Israel is about to go to battle against Assyria, and they're overwhelmed, and they're like looking at them like, we can't match up. And so they go to bed, and they wake up, and 185,000 of their enemies are dead because an angel came in and wiped them out. Angels do, hear me, physical warfare. That's incredible. But they also do spiritual warfare. We are told in Daniel 10 that God sent an angel to respond to Daniel's prayer, but it took 21 days for the angel to get there. Because the angel was going against the forces of darkness. So much so that I believe it's Michael, right? I believe it's Michael comes and does battle with that angel over the forces of darkness. Daniel 10, if you want to read it. It's an incredible story. Daniel prayed to God, and God sent an answer with an angel, and it took 21 days to get there. Because of all the spiritual forces that were against that answer. That's incredible. Did you know that? Isn't that a great story? So listen, there's messenger angels and ministering angels and military angels. And I said all that to say this. Listen, Jesus is greater than that. He's greater in name. He's greater in honor. And if you're taking notes, here's the third one. He is greater in authority. Jesus is greater than angels because he has a greater authority. Look at verse 7. In speaking to the angels, he said, he makes his angels spirits and his servants flames of fire. But about the Son, he says, your throne, O God, will last forever and ever. A scepter of justice will be, A scepter of justice will be the scepter of your kingdom. Bad, I lost my place. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has set you above your companion by anointing you. We talked about this, right? Angels are sent. Jesus is anointed. Anointed with the oil of joy. Jesus has a greater authority. Here, little angelology for you. I think I put this up. Can we put this up? Here we go. Just a few things about angels I'm just going to touch real quick. I'm going to give you some scriptures. You can look them up later if you want to write them down. But here we go. Listen, angels are spirit beings. They do not have flesh and bone. Okay? We know that from Hebrews 13. Angels often appear with great light. Matthew 28. Angels have emotions. Did you know that? Did you know that angels have emotions just like we do? How do we know that? We know that from Luke 15, where it says, "As the angels rejoice in heaven over one sinner that accepts Christ." They rejoice. Rejoice is what? It's an emotion. It's an emotion. So angels have emotions just like we do, just like God does, right? Angels do not marry or procreate. Matthew 22. Angels do not die. Jude 6 talks about that. They don't die, right? Angels were created long ago. They are not from eternity past like God, right? There was a point somewhere in eternity past, and I know this is hard to understand, where God created all the angels. But they were not around forever and ever in eternity past, right? Angels are more numerous than we can count. And the reason we know that is because John sees an overwhelming amount of angels in Revelation. And he says this, it's like 10,000 times 10,000, which if you do the math real quick in your head, it's 100 million. But he's not saying that there's 100 million angels. He's saying this, there are too many to count. There's too many. I can't count them. And so he uses his reference of 10,000 upon 10,000 because that was a big number back then. Now we have millions and billions, but they didn't have that back then. And so the angels are more numerous than we can count. Angels have a ranking system, right? Because we know that Michael is an archangel, which is a chief angel, which is, you know, he's obviously up on the totem pole, so to say, right? Angels are more powerful than humans, Ephesians 6. Angels do the will of God, and we see that in Luke 1. And I said all that to say this, Jesus is greater because he has greater authority. Greater than all of that is Jesus. That's who he is. Now, it says this in verse 8, if you would put it up. I think I put it up. Verse 8. But about the Son, he says, your throne, O God, will last forever and ever. A scepter of justice will be the scepter of your kingdom. We need to hit these two things because they're really important. And you could just put it up on the screen, Kyle, for them. There are two important words here, throne and scepter. And they refer to positional authority and symbolic authority. A throne is all about a position. God the Father says Jesus is given a throne. Listen to me. Angels are never given thrones, but Jesus is because he's greater. And can we just pause for a moment and think about how great heaven will be? You ever thought about that? Like how wonderful heaven will be and how great the throne of God will be where Jesus sits? Do you know that John was given a glimpse of the throne of God in Revelation. Can I read it to you? I didn't put it on the screen. I just want you to listen. Just focus in on my words. Listen to this. Listen. This is Revelation 4. I saw a throne in heaven, and someone was sitting on it. The one sitting there looked like gray quartz. I don't even know what that looks like. Like he's so overwhelmed with the presence of Jesus on the throne, he can't even describe. There's not even words to say. He says he looked like gray quartz and red quartz. And there was a rainbow around the throne that looked like emerald. And then he says this, lightning and thunder came from the throne. I don't know about you, but that's pretty scary. That there's this amazing rainbow. And he says this, seven flaming torches were burning in front of the throne. In front of the throne, there was something like the sea of glass, as clear as crystal. In the center near the throne, around the throne, were four living creatures. You ready for this? Covered with eyes, front and back. I can't even picture that. The first living creature was like a lion. The second was like a young bull. The third was had the face of a human. And the fourth was like a flying eagle. Each of the four living creatures had six wings and were covered with eyes inside and out. Without stopping, day and night, they were singing. Do you know what they were singing? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And you know when they finish that sentence, you know what they start again with? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And then when they stop, guess where they start again? And you know what they've been doing for all of eternity? Just that. And they never tire, because God is holy. I've preached about holiness before. Holy is an amazing word. Listen, of all the words that God could have chosen for angels to say about him, he said holy. That's huge. He didn't say loving, 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 and God is. He didn't say peace, 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 and God is. He didn't say hope, 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 and God is. He said, God, I am holy. And the angels acknowledge that Jesus sitting on the throne is holy. That's what they say. Whenever the living creatures give honor and glory and thanks to the one who sits on the throne, to the one who lives forever and ever. Listen to this. The 24 elders fall down. They're around the throne. And they fall down before him who sits on the throne, and they worship him who lives forever, and they lay their crowns, all that they have, they lay at the feet of Jesus, and they say this, and I hope one day that I get to say this too, and that you do too. Listen to this. You are worthy. You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being. Wouldn't it be great one day to get before the throne of God and to say, you are worthy, you are holy? Oh. Do you get a sense of that? Jesus has greater authority. And then it says this about not only his throne, but it mentions scepter. Scepter was kind of a thing that kings would hold. It was either a staff or a rod, and it represents symbolic authority. The scepter was something a king or leader would hold, and it spoke of his power, his strength, his supremacy, and his superiority. And Jesus is all of those. He is. So he's greater in name. He's greater in honor. He's greater in authority. And watch this. Watch this. He's greater in reputation. He has a greater reputation. It says this, verse 10. He also says, and this is God speaking about Jesus, in the beginning, Lord, you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will remain. They will wear out like a garment. You will roll them up like a robe, like a garment. There will be changed, but you remain the same. Your years never end. To which the angels, did God ever say, sit at my right hand until I make your enemy a footstool under your, or for your feet? It says this, in the beginning, Lord, you laid the foundations of the earth. Now, I went into great detail. If you missed last week, I would encourage you to go and watch it on Facebook. Listen to it. I went into kind of great lengths about our galaxy, which I love doing, the Milky Way. Do you remember that? How many remember this from last week? Not the candy bar Milky Way, the galaxy Milky Way. And I said this, listen. Our galaxy is 1,000 light years from one end to the other. Like if you travel the speed of light, it would take you 14,000 years, our years, to get from one end to the other, traveling at the speed of light, which is 186,000 miles per second. Have I overwhelmed you yet? Yes, absolutely, absolutely. And I don't want to go into all this again, but I want to kind of give you an idea of how great the reputation of Jesus is and how big he is. Now, that's one galaxy. That's our galaxy. Within our galaxy is our solar system, which our sun and all our planets, that's in there, but the Milky Way is our galaxy. Scientists have discovered that there's between 150 to 200 billion galaxies. What? 150 billion galaxies, just like ours, that are 100,000 light years, and some are much bigger. 100,000 light years from one end to the other. Okay? 150 billion galaxies. Now, to illustrate how much 150 billion is, I have a little thing to just illustrate this. If you could put up the picture. Here we go. Does anybody know what that is? That is Lincoln Financial Field. Can I get an E-A-G-L-E-S, Eagles? Come on. Don't shake your head no. I saw that. Are you a Giants fan? Okay. What? I will see you at the altar after church. This is where the Eagles play on Sundays, right? Or Thursday night, right? They play the Giants, but that was a... So this is Lincoln Financial Field. It seats 69,176 people. If you were to take frozen peas, come on, somebody. You know how big a frozen... And that's a big picture. I blew it up. You know how big a pea is, right? Okay. You could fill up Lincoln Financial Field with 150 billion frozen peas. Boom! Right? 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 That's how many galaxies there are that we know of. If you took frozen peas and filled it to the top, it would be about 150 billion peas, frozen peas. That's how many galaxies there are that God created, that we know of. Is that amazing? And yet that God loves you. That God is concerned about your life and what you're going through. That is overwhelming. That is awesome. That's how amazing God is. That's his reputation when it says, you laid the foundations of the world, that you made 150 that we know of, billion galaxies, and yet you care about us. Two subpoints under this that are really important, and it kind of goes with this. The first one is this, listen. He's greater in reputation because his reputation is unchanging. It's unchanging. The end of verse 12 says, but you remain the same, and your years never end. And can I tell you this? Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I know we say that in church, and we're like, yeah, amen, amen. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Yeah, that's great, that's right. Yeah. Ah. No, he really is. The one who delivered Egypt out of slavery with 10 plagues is the one that can deliver you. The one that spoke and created everything, he cares about you. The God who delivered David from Goliath and helped him defeat a giant is the same God that can help you defeat your giant. I'm the same. I don't change. That same God we read about in the Old Testament is the same God that we serve today. The God that encouraged Joshua before he went into the promised land, right? This angel appears to him and says, you know, be of good cheer, not be of good cheer, but be encouraged. You're going to take the land. That same God can say the same to you. That if you need courage, you can lean on God. That if you've got a tough choice to make soon, you can have courage. And you can say, you know what, God's going to help me through this. That's the same God. His reputation is unchanging. Same God, same God. Second one is this. His reputation, I love this, is unchallenged. There's no one like him. To which of the angels did God say, sit at my right hand, which is the position of power. We talked about that last week. Sit at my right hand and make your enemies a footstool for your feet. And this was very, I know this sounds weird, but this was a very common practice in ancient days, and they know what this meant, to make someone a footstool. Because here's what would happen. When a king would conquer another king, they would have the king lay face down and they would walk on their neck. Doesn't that sound bad? That sounds like it hurts, first of all. But in front of everyone, they would have the other leader or king who they defeated lay down, and that king would walk on their back, on their neck, to signify this, you are under my feet. You are nothing. You are like the dirt under my feet. And God says this of Jesus, that I thought it was up there, but that's okay, that I will make your enemies a footstool, that I will put everything under your feet. That's the God we serve. Jesus is greater. Listen, greater name, greater honor. He's the one to be worshiped. Greater authority, greater reputation, unchanged, unchallenged. Look at verse 14. Here we go. Did I put it up, Kyle? The next verse? If I didn't, don't worry about it. Listen, here's what it says. Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve? Who are they serving? The ones that inherit salvation. That's us. The writer says that angels, as awesome as they are sent to serve and help us. And so he's saying in this passage, listen, especially to the first century Jewish Christians that were living in Rome, listen, Jesus is greater than angels. He's not even on the same level. That's the God we serve. That angels were just sent to serve us. Now, that doesn't mean you can just do whatever you want and angels will take care of you. That's not what it's saying. The writer here is making the case that as awesome and as amazing as angels are, Jesus is that much greater. He's that much greater. And I don't know what you're facing this week. I don't know what week you had or what week is ahead of you, right? I do know this. Jesus is greater. Jesus is greater. And we see throughout the Bible that angels would come and go and minister and sometimes act in a military way, and they would, you know, bring messages and do this, but they never stayed. They never stayed. There is one who stays with you. There is one who stays with you, who loves you, who is with you no matter where you go, no matter what's going on in your life, and that is Jesus, because he's greater. He's greater. Stand with me, church. If you don't know Jesus, man, I'm going to be at the piano afterwards for prayer. If anybody needs prayer, I'm going to be there. But if you don't know Christ, if you don't know about eternity, I would love to pray with you. I'll make myself available there. And if you need prayer for anything, please, please, Pastor Gwen, Elder James will be there. We want to pray with you, encourage you, help you. But I know this, Jesus is greater. He is greater. Let's just pray. Let's just thank him. God, we just thank you that you are greater. Greater in name, the name of Jesus. Greater in honor, Lord, we just worship you. We adore you. We honor you. Greater in authority, God, there's nothing that we can face that is beyond you. And greater in reputation, that you are unchanged and unchallenged. There is no one that can stand up against you. And God, we thank you so much that we're on your team, that we're a part of your family, and that God, someday we will stand before the throne. And we will lay down all that we have, all our crowns, everything we've done, because it's for your honor and your glory. You are so worthy, Jesus. Thank you so much that you never change, that you're always with us. And Lord, for your people today, I just pray that you would just overwhelm them with your presence today and this week. God, no matter what they face, from the doctor to the finances to the family to their future, whatever they're facing, Jesus, let them know that your spirit is with them and that you are greater. We love you. We honor you. We praise the name of Jesus. And the church said, amen. God bless you.